welcome to this week's episode of the Handyman Hotline. We have a landlord-tastic episode for you today, filled with questions about why do keys open multiple doors in my apartment building? And all the other wonderful questions related to technicians. That and more on this episode of the Handyman Hotline. Roll the theme song!
Mercury, Mercury, Stardust! She's a beacon of hope in the darkest night! Mercury, Mercury, Stardust! She'll teach you how to make it all alright!
Hey guys, gals, and non-binary pals, thank you for coming back to the Handyman Hotline. I love having you every single week, and I'm excited about this week's episode. You know, when I wrote my book, Safe and Sound, that one right there, when I wrote Safe and Sound, A Renter's Friendly Guide to Home Repair, this was drawing from my experience as a technician. I worked with property management companies, and I knew firsthand what it was like to experience things I didn't necessarily like. So when I was writing the book, trying to pitch it to people, trying to prove to them that this was a really important thing, was difficult sometimes. Sometimes it was hard to make people understand that being a renter sometimes is a little scary. You are giving a lot of power into people you barely know. So today we're going to dive into the ins and outs, all the things we worry about, all the things that we don't know enough about, and all the things that honestly we should talk way more about. Buckle up and let's listen to that first question of the day.
Put a finger down if you found out your apartment keys work on another complex right above you. This is a call out to this building management for being the most whack ass company I've ever had to deal with. I live on the fourth floor, okay? And one time it was almost midnight. My partner was walking up. He was walking up the stairs. Sometimes you go up an extra stair. I've done that before. The apartments are aligned directly above each other. So he put his key on the same door that mine is technically at. And it worked. Why wouldn't it? So he walks in and literally on the sofa is just some woman with her dog. I don't know what you would think if some random man came into your home at the middle of the night. We apologized. She understood. She was so confused as to why her keys also worked on mine. I don't even know if it works on other apartments in that building. I didn't check because I'm not crazy. I contact the building immediately and I say, why does my key work on another tenant's? And I would like to get new locks immediately. Thank you. They didn't even give a big apology. They didn't even sound like they feel bad. They just said, we don't know why that happened. I had them changed, thankfully, and I moved out early because I did not feel safe in that home. Now that I've moved out, I'm gonna call the other shitty things that have happened so you don't live in one of these buildings because you don't deserve that. I and many other tenants in that building had multiple packages stolen, and we caught the person who was stealing them at some point, had to call 911, found out he was squatting in the back stairwell the whole time. Two, that elevator might have broke once a month. This is just me being petty, but when my parking garage door wasn't opening, they said, you can go get another one for $20. What's the point of returning a broken one to you at the end of the year if you can't replace it yourself? And finally, when I moved out, because once again, I did not feel safe, the elevator broke down 1 hour into moving. They told me they reset the elevator and call the electrician, but they did not come until the next day, and I left a very well-deserved one-star review on Google. After I posted, I kid you not, 5 minutes later, they call me and they say, can you please take this down? We feel like it does not match the values of our management. I ignore it because I'm keeping the review up. It's my opinion on how you managed the apartment. They ask again, have I considered taking down the review? And I said, I will take down the review when you give me a reason to take down the review. And until then, it will stay up because multiple people have found it helpful. And now you have a 3.8. I don't know about you, but I try to look for 4 stars and up when I go on Google. So have a good rest of your day.
Boy, that is a nightmare. That is one of those things that we all worry about happening, and then it happens, and it's a pretty darn scary thing. When I was a technician, I accidentally walked in on somebody in a wrong apartment. I thought I was going into the office because our office looks similar to an apartment. And I opened up the door and I walked in and there was a family right there. I didn't even knock because I thought I was going into the office. And the family was super kind. They've known me for quite a while. They didn't freak out, but I would have. And I think about that all the time. I was extra cautious from that moment on. But honestly, I should have been extra cautious the entire time. When you have keys as a technician, you have separate keys for the exterior doors and the interior doors most of the time. often, if you have like three or four buildings that you're taking care of, you have something that's called a master key that will open up every single apartment in that building, right? If you have an apartment that we'll just say 601, that is the entire building is 601, right? You have 601, 602, 603, 604. Let's just say you got four apartments. That one key will open up all of those. Now, when someone moves out, it's my job to do something called rekeying. And I will take that key out. I'll take the lock out of that door. And then we put it in something with like a rotation. I hate this system. It drove me nuts that we just kept reusing cylinders over and over and over again. Where, yeah, we're not using this same cylinder in the same building. Typically, you would just put that cylinder in a different building so that key for 601 is now opening up 740 or something. And that was kind of how that works. And that's pretty common and super annoying. When I asked my bosses why we did it that way, his response was, well, I mean, it's a whole lot cheaper than buying new locks every time. Yeah, but it's not as safe. I've never understood some of the corners that they would cut, and then they would get mad about their tenants not caring about their property and the property not being taken care of the way they want it to. But if you're not even taking care of the tenant in a way that you would want to be taken care of, then I don't know what your grievance in this is. Like, it makes no sense to me. You would get mad at the tenant when you are also causing the problem. Like, you are making them feel very unsafe. Now, how did this happen? What is going on specifically? How does one key open up multiple apartments? Well, here's the thing. We had something called a machine cutter or a key cutter, and it was my job to duplicate keys for people when they were moving in, or if they got lost keys, we would duplicate keys for them, etc. And we had an actual old-fashioned little cutter right down there. And they're not really the greatest tools. They're actually kind of imprecise. It's wild how it actually works. You basically just use a vice grip to hold both a blank key and then the actual key. And then a grinder comes down with a very hard point on another section. And it just pushes into the blank key. And if there's a dip in the old key, you will then dip into the blank. It's not really that much of a rocket science, but it's hard to get it exactly precise. So that was a lot of times I would make a key and then I would need to try it a couple times in the door in order to make sure that it was actually doing its job properly. But what I think happened here is I think when you moved in, they accidentally duplicated the master key. I do not know how this would happen, but that would be my assumption in this matter, is that they, for whatever reason, when you moved in, they duplicated their own master key. Maybe they knew what they were doing. Maybe they have done this before. Maybe they did this for that person up there as well. Maybe. Or they just did it by accident and they just had a master key on file. So we would have all the keys in one closet. Every single door, a key in the entire apartment complex that I took care of had a key behind this closet in the office that we had everything. And when you open it up, you would have the keys for that apartment. So you would have like a specific one, like 601, 602, right? You would have 601's key right there. And then you would look at the serial number and make sure the serial number actually matches up to your files and et cetera. But if you put a master key in that closet per se, you may have a huge chain of reaction that messes up a bunch of stuff. You mess up one key and you file it wrong with the serial number, you could have a huge chain reaction. So maybe that's the case. And here's the thing. Technicians, high turnover. Now, you might have a technician that came up with a great system that works perfectly, that, you know what, they knew every single serial number, they knew every type of lock they were using, they were on top of the cylinders, and etc., and then they're gone. Well, there really isn't proper training that will onboard a technician, because every time a technician comes on, it's just a whatever floats your boat. You won't really know the system at all that you have. You just kind of go with the motions. And when you get a call, you figure out how to rekey and what the system of rekeying is when you need to rekey. It's that dysfunctional of a system. And honestly, property management companies, like the one that was mentioned in a video, are often overworked and underpaid. And it can be just a shit show. I mean, I was the only full-time employee on the property of 140 units for almost 4 months. That's wild. That means I was doing the job of a property manager at one point, and I was doing the job as a technician. There would be calls on a voicemail, and then I would listen to the voicemail, fill all that stuff out. I would do, I would also be there for people when they were moving in. It was an absolute mess. And that's pretty common. It's just such a wild, hard, frustrating job, because the people are above you often don't care about the tenants. And if you are one of the rare ones that really wants to help people, you won't make a lot of headway. And this is just one of the examples with having keys that are not properly filed. And that's just a frustrating experience. So here's the thing. How do we prevent this from happening? Well, when you move into an apartment, one of the very first things I would do is I would go and check if there's a basement door, if there's a closet door. Hey, just checking to see if that key opens it. Now, a lot of times that master key actually won't be the same brand as the keys for the basement and for your closet, but it might in a case where a lot is messed up, you know? And if it does open the basement and it does open the closet, maybe there's a red herring here, and maybe you should befriend one of the people who are living in that building and ask if you can use your key on their house and kind of do a key exchange unit and just flop cheat keys and see if they work on each other's spaces. And that might be a warning sign. Other than that, you really don't know. You will be shocked to find out how many people actually have keys to your apartment. So the property manager will have a key to your apartment. The regional director will have keys to your apartment. The lead for the entire property management team will have keys to your apartment. The maintenance technicians, if there's one, two, three, or four, will have keys to your apartment. All the emergency techs that work for the company that do emergency calls will also have keys. And that could be a team up to 9 or 10 people. Now, that is not excluding the fact that the VP and the president of the company probably have keys as well. And there may be other people. Like we had a janitor on staff that also like took care of the hallways and stuff. He did have keys to some of the vacants of the buildings that they were in, you know, and it may work a little bit different from one property company to another property company. You could have somewhere between 8 to 16 people, maybe more, who have keys to your specific apartment. I think it can be a little scary. Hearing that probably does not make you feel the most comforted at night, but I think it's important for us to understand that. And I would definitely consider adding a camera, which I will get into in the second question that we have of today, just for your own safety. And if you have a problem with a property management company, leave a review. They don't have a flippin' say in it. And honestly, if a property management company has anything above a 3, I think that's actually not that bad. I know they said 4, but to be honest, I don't know many property management companies at all. I mean, I worked for a company that had a 1.8. Boy, oh boy, you know? It's property management companies just have a terrible reputation. And when you burn out your property manager and you burn out your tech so fast and you're not properly supporting them, well, you're not going to have great customer service. When you are writing a review, though, name names. Like, talk about Missy and Kelly and John. say their names. And the reason why I would do that is because they might be a turnover. And if people don't recognize the names when they first start living there, you know, maybe there's different staff. Maybe it's better. If all the names are the same, oh boy, you're in for it. They may not just be duplicating keys. You may duplicate that terrible experience that someone wrote a review on. But all that being said, I hope that helps give you a little bit more of a knowledge on it. And I really hope that wherever this human being goes next for their apartment, that is a much better place than that. And I send you all my love. Let's listen to the next question of the day.
Hi, my name is Christine. My pronouns are she, her. And my question is more about decor. I am currently in my self-help era. And so when maintenance comes by, I usually take down the things that are a little personal and embarrassing. But I was just wondering, what happens when you come into a home and there's like, you know, some very personal, I guess, no, but my real question is, how embarrassed should I be? And I know that you've run the gamut of people that are awesome and not awesome. And I guess, you know, what's the average response? I assume you kind of are just there to get the job done and get out. But let me know the hot goss. All right, bye.
You know, you get a question like this and you're just hoping for the best for people, you know? First of all, I need to make sure I crumple up this piece of paper because I forgot to do that. And the tradition has to stay alive. So, yeah. But that being said, I mean, isn't it such an honest question of like what you want to keep from strangers in your home? Hey, if you are a queer human being and you got flags places, or if you're someone who has partners or multiple partners and you're afraid of how that might be interpreted by a stranger who's coming into your house. I mean, a technician is typically a blue collar human being. And typically, blue-collar human beings may have more traditional views. I met a lot of folks in the industry, and a lot of them had traditional views. And that could be pretty tough sometimes when you were outside the left field. And it could be really difficult to be a queer person around them, and they knew me. When you're a stranger to that person, you know, that could be really tough. There was a rule that we had for the property management company, we were not allowed to wear anything political. We couldn't wear, you know, there couldn't be any Donald Trump hats, right? There couldn't be any MAGA hats. There couldn't be any, you know, supporting, you know, Harris hats or anything like that. But what we were allowed to, and I hope this does not change with the attack of diversity, equity, and inclusion in this country.
Well, that aged so poorly, so fast. So I recorded that 3 months ago, and when I said it, I was thinking, oh, this will be like in a year or 2 years, not when this episode comes out. So obviously things have changed quite a bit. So everything I'm about to tell you is no longer probably true in most places. So keep that in mind. But also, I know you're sad. I know that you're overwhelmed. So I want to leave you with this. Hip hop hippo, nickname Drippo, heaviest chain, best fits in a bizzle. All the other hippos said, oh, he's cringy. Drippo don't mind, he knows he's himothy. Okay, everyone, back to the show now. I hope you guys appreciate the things I do for you.
I really hope this does not change, but it was allowed to wear pins. Like, I could wear a pin that had my pronouns on it. I could wear a pin that had the trans flag on it and the rainbow flag on it. I could wear pins that could demonstrate who I was. That can help sometimes to separate it, you know, like when you see someone in a position of authority and you see that they're openly supporting the queer community, sometimes it takes a little bit of the sting off, but you know, it's just a pin. It doesn't necessarily protect you from people being dicks. But as a renter, up until this year, I've been a renter my entire adult life. I know what it's like to try to hide pictures, to try to hide all my kinky stuff. I mean, let's be honest. We know what this question is asking without asking it. As someone who literally has two wands that were out and about on my living room couch when my mother-in-law came over, I'll tell you what, boy, do you get red. All that being said, Like, what do technicians think? Like, is it a big deal for a technician to come in and find, you know, thing unmentionables, as we would say, or things that may be embarrassing, or things that may be more private? Like, what would a technician think? A, first of all, we had a rule that you never go into rooms that you weren't asked to go into. But that does not mean that that is a thing for every single person. But that's what it was like for us. So if we were asked to fix the kitchen, like garbage disposal, right? We didn't go into the bathroom, or we didn't go into someone's bedroom or closets. We didn't do that. We went right to where we were asked. And I had a rule where unless I was super far away from our bathrooms, I never used the bathroom in someone else's apartment. Now, there was occasions when, yeah, I would have to, but usually there was a vacant that was close by, and I could go into a vacant that I was remodeling and go to the bathroom there instead of having to use someone's own bathroom. Just for, like, I don't know, I think it's, A, just nice. I think it's thoughtful to do something like that. But also, I really don't want to be in rooms I'm not asked to be in. And it limits any problems I may have. It may limit any problems you may have or any worries that you may have. Now, another aspect is making sure that the area is properly taken care of. I think that if you are having someone look at your garbage disposal, making sure that everything underneath the sink is like organized and put into a bin so you can just take the bin out and then you can just slide right in. And the reason why that relates to this is because the less I have to move things around, the less I have to like get into something, the less likely I am to find something I wasn't supposed to. So if you have a messy room, right? Hey, I don't care if you have a messy room. I'm never going to think twice about it. And most technicians really don't care at all. I mean, our tool sheds were way messier than any apartment I was in on a regular basis, you know? But if it was cleaned, it made it way easier for us to avoid anything. You know, if I had to work on someone's window in their bedroom and it was at least a path for me, it wasn't that bad. I would make sure that I brought like a little folding chair and a little folding table sometimes with me, so I didn't have to put anything on people's beds and stuff. I try to make sure that we never put things on people's own property. Like, don't put tools on someone's nightstand. Don't put tools on their bed. Don't put anything like that. I just think it's disrespectful. It's their home, unless you ask and they're there. But all of that, it's kind of the ins and outs of how those interactions kind of work. I got to be honest with you. I want to say you shouldn't feel embarrassed at all. It's your flipping home. Who gives a crap, you know? But the reality is you don't really know what an individual is going to say. There's no way for me to say that any technician that you encounter is going to be kind and not care. But I would say by whole, most people just want to do their job and get out. I think the nicest things were when I went into apartments and if no one was there, but they left a note for me and a little bottle of water. That was always really sweet shit. I mean, one time I had cookies left out for me as if I was Santa Claus. And that stuff's nice, you know. And I think that it's a good way to develop a relationship. But honestly, developing a relationship is on the technician. It's on the property management company. It shouldn't be on you. I think it's unfair for that to be on you. But the reality of the situation is sometimes you just got to be able to cross the aisle and actually communicate with someone and hope that they're going to be a human being about it. But if they give you any red flags, hide everything you got. I wrote down here in my notes that I recommend having a tote that's designated for all the things that you don't want people to look at or a safe. One of the other things that you can do here is put in cameras in your home, right? Make sure people aren't stealing your make sure that people aren't crossing a boundary when you're in your home. However, putting a camera in your apartment is actually kind of a legal issue, and it becomes a problem. Now, I have never really heard of anyone getting in trouble for using a Ring camera on the front door of their apartment. I know that there have been some cases where people have had a Ring camera in a position where it was directly looking at someone's window or directly on someone else's door. And that, when it gets into a little bit of a dicey area, you can get in trouble for that. So make sure that the camera is not pointed at other people's homes, essentially. But usually that's not a problem. The problem comes when you put it inside of the apartment. So legally, from what I understand, you cannot hide a camera in your apartment. So you have to make sure the camera is visible to the eye when you walk in. You also need to be mindful that there are some states like California, Hawaii, Arkansas that you need to put a sign up on your door if you're going to have cameras inside your apartment, and you need to get consent before you film them. Now, is that going to hold up? I don't know. I don't know if that is something to really worry about, but it's to be mindful. I am under the mindset, and I always have been, is that in situations like this, when you are a renter, is to do it and beg for forgiveness later. I mean, it's easier to delete it and say, my bad, than it is to not have it at all and not have any protection. But, you know, I'm not a legal expert. I don't know if that is great advice or not. But that is my personal thing and what I might do myself. But in this instance, if you're in a place where you know it's okay, then A, it shouldn't be a problem. If it isn't in your lease, then you should also be okay. If there's no mention about, hey, you can't put cameras in your apartment, then you should be okay. If there is explicit language that says you are not allowed to put cameras in your apartment, then you might have an issue. But these are things to be mindful of. Most of the time, you don't really have any issues with this, but boy, you know, you would hate to not have that. And to be honest, don't we all wish that people would just treat us with love and respect? I feel like today, especially for this episode, I just want to scream in the top of my lungs and be like, what happened to the cardinal rule? Treat others as if you would want to be treated. Like, what happened here? Why are we constantly having these arguments? Why are we constantly having to talk about situations where people are creepy and doing things that are not appropriate, or, you know, people in positions of power that make you feel very uncomfortable, like the previous first question? Like, these things are frustrating, but there are the realities, and I think it's important for us to discuss them, be prepared for them, and hope for the best. And develop a relationship with a technician if you can. You know, if you see them about, say hi, you know, if you really want to have some type of a connection, sometimes it's nice to, when they're there, ask if they want to talk, or, you know, bring them water or ask them about their day. And you can get a vibe check from them. If they feel very uncool, then chances are it's not going to be good. And I would try to just avoid it. One of the things that made my spouse really happy at the last apartment we stayed at was when we called for help multiple times because of the stupid dryer that I was afraid to try to open and fix because I didn't want to mess up anyone's warranty. So I left it alone, even though the dryer did not do its goddamn job the entire time we lived there. But we called up a technician, and the technician came in, and the first thing he did was got down on his knees and started petting our cat, Apollo. And Zizi was like, it was so cute, and I knew he was a good man right away. So however he treats your pets, if they treat your pets good, you should be okay. And honestly, that is a warning sign. If they're not mindful of your pets, that might be something you want to think about. I would always have a treat. I always had a cat treat and dog treats on me. And the reason why is because I had too many incidents with dogs that were overly aggressive, and having a bone on me generally helped. You know, I could give the dog a bone and be like, leave me alone there, buddy. And usually it helped. Cats and I were best friends. When you show up with Truru, cats are going to be treating you like you're a goddamn queen. But I hope that helps you. And remember, it's your home. You can ask questions, you can set boundaries, and if they don't listen, you should try to find a place that is going to make you feel safer because it is your home. And since we're talking about being safe and sound, let's talk about My book, Safe and Sound, A Renter's Friendly Guide to Home Repair. Hey, you can't blame me for plugging my book every single week, okay? I gotta keep this pirate ship afloat, guys. All that being said, if you love what we do here, and you really wish that you had my knowledge in the back of your pocket every single day, just in case, well, hey, this book is a pretty good handy guide. It has about 75 helpful tips and tricks for your apartments with QR codes and emotional resets to help you along your experience when it comes to home repair. Now, if you're someone who's like, hey, Mercury, I got a little bit of disposable income. First of all, wow, good for you. Second of all, can I have some of that? I have a Patreon, Cameo, and even Popcall now. So if you want to support me on Patreon, you absolutely can. That really helps us a long ways. But if you want to ask me for help on the actual Handyman hotline, you can call our Popcall and can you leave a voicemail and I will do my best to return it. We're very excited about this new thing that we're trying. And I really hope that it turns out because I love talking to all of you and interacting with you when you need me the most. And honestly, the more questions I'm asked, the more I learn, and boy, is learning fun. So support me if you can. If you can't, that's okay. And let's hear the third question of the day.
Hey everyone, it's Future Mercury again. So I wanted to give you a heads up that for the next 8 minutes or so, I'm going to go off on a freestyle rant that is absolutely laced with profanity. I bleeped it all out for you, or I should say I hammered it all out for you so you don't hear it. But it is very me off the cuff. I am talking to my wonderful producer and VP of my company, Basil, who I call Bagel Bites for fun. You're going to hear me and him talk back and forth. But basically, I'm getting into much more personal things about the industry. I'm very negative in this segment. I really don't like some things that happen in our industry, and I'm very frustrated about it, especially in property management. I feel like a lot of people don't want to say the truth who work in this industry because they're afraid of losing their jobs. But I talk about a little bit of that ahead of time. And I also wanted to give you a little bit of backstory. So the way that a lot of property management companies work is that you bring your own tools as a technician to the job. A lot of companies don't provide many tools at all. They'll provide a shop, they'll have an inventory, but they don't always have a chop saw or a table saw or drills and et cetera. They might have some hand tools, but a lot of times you have to bring your own tools. And if you don't have tools, you have to buy tools. And at that, at the most, you are sometimes given a stipend of like a $500 stipend. A $500 stipend doesn't actually cover as much as a lot of people might think. And you got to keep in mind that we also wear steel toe shoes for our safety. And those are $150, $200 most of the time. So there's a lot of cost that goes into this that isn't covered by a lot of these rental companies. Without further ado, here's the rest of the show. And I am sorry in advance for all of the hammering you're going to hear. But ultimately, I really think we need to have, tenant unions. I think that's going to solve some problems. I think that we need to be able to advocate for a lot more in this country when it comes to these things. And I also think we need stronger renter protection rights across the board. You know, like all the things we were talking about today, all of it is just like loosey-goosey the whole time because there really isn't laws that are outlining what you can and cannot do, especially in the state of Wisconsin. You don't need a license to be a maintenance technician in the state of Wisconsin. All you do is you need to convince someone who's a property manager to give you a job. That's all you got to do is just convince them that you get a job. I worked with a guy towards the end of my career in property management who I don't want to be a jerk here, but he wasn't very good at his job. And he was severely underprepared every single day to do his job. And to be honest, I would be afraid of him working in my house and my property and my apartment. I would not want him around anything. I had to buy him a drill. He didn't have drills. He didn't have a drill. He didn't have a screwdriver. He didn't have pliers. He didn't have any set of tools. And I had to go out of my way
to buy him these tools, and I refused to use my own money. So I bought it with our limited money through the property company. When I gave them a receipt, they got mad at me. They got real mad. They took it out of our annual budget. And my response to them was, how was I supposed to do my job if the person who was working with me couldn't do his job? You know, like, I've been begging you guys for 4 months to hire somebody. And when you do, you hire someone that honestly, in some ways, I thought it was, I don't know, it was so wild to me. Especially when you have 7 other technicians on your payroll who are all rotating. So the way it works is that, let's say you have a building A and a building B and a building C, and they're all across your city, right? They're all located in different parts. Well, I worked at building A, and Joe Smo worked at building B, right? And then someone else worked at building C. Well, we, for emergency technicians, we would, every 6 weeks, take a rotation. So I would be on call for 2 weeks, then Joe Smo would be on call for 2 weeks, and then the third guy would be on call for 2 weeks. We would then be in charge of all 3 buildings. For me, it was, I think, 9 buildings. But we would be in charge of all of those buildings, and then we would go, and then we were in emergency call. We would often not know where we were going. I would have a map on my phone to try to help find out, like, where I was in a building. Like, sometimes you didn't even know where the tools were sometimes. Like, there was one building that I was barely ever in. No one ever got emergency calls from there. I got an emergency call, and then I had to find where their, honestly, where their locks were, because I had to replace a lock. So it took me almost 45 minutes to find out where the shop was. And then to find the locks, the ones that I was allowed to use, because I had to find the inventory that was for this specific building. And then I had to replace everything out. But it took so much longer and to do that job because we weren't properly trained in any of that stuff. So anyways, this is a complete rant, and I do not know if this will be in the episode, but
hey, if nothing else, it can go on Patreon or something.
Yeah, this is a Patreon exclusive with Mercury Stardust and Begabytes. I'm trying to think of an inappropriate joke that's involving Begabytes. Everyone's favorite pizza treat. That's not.
Okay, I think you just joined their marketing team.
Sponsored now by Bagel Bites. I would love the Bagel Bites presents the Handyman Hotline.
That would be so funny.
I want you to know that the other day you text me, and you're texting me with your new phone now. And you text me through Single, right? Or Single. I say it wrong, but you know what I mean. And all of a sudden, it pops up as Bagel Bites. Because you're still in my phone. I refuse to end this bit. But now you're not Bagel Bites. Your photo is different now. You are a fox now for some reason.
Oh, yeah. That's just my photo on Signal.
Oh, really? I was so confused. It was like, why is there not bagels here?
I think that you can like change the settings on Signal to use your contact photos.
Man, I just want to put... What if I just put a cat as mine? Nitro. I just have make Nitro.
People do that.
Yeah, I should just do that. I hate being seen. You want to go back to the podcast where I'm seen by millions of people?
Yeah, I guess I could like read this question for you.
Yeah, I mean, let me refresh what I'm looking at. Yep, I got it. Cool, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock if you're ready to...
Please help me with this. My maintenance guy makes me uncomfy when he comes over to do work, but I def don't trust him alone in my house. The towel rack fell out of the wall, and the holes in the wall are too wide now for new screws.
Ah, man, this is so common, and I'm happy to get into this one. But first, I have to do my tradition. I gotta crumple the paper. I want you to know that I save all these, and they do... They are in my binder, but they're not all crumply. But it's just an effect, you know? You got to keep the vibe going. Speaking of vibes, boy, do I hate when maintenance technicians don't match the right vibe. Now, having an inappropriate technician or having a technician that you have bad experience with, it's not great, right? Because you can't necessarily call up and be like, hey, I never want to see this person in my apartment again. And you can make that request. I don't think I've ever encountered that. And I'm not positive what a company would do in response. But I don't think it's unreasonable to be like, hey, you know, Joe Schmo right here, not great. Not a great guy. Do not want him around me anymore. I will say there was definitely technicians I worked with that had terrible reputations. Terrible reputations. And I hated working with them. I hated it. And I would always try to avoid calling them. However, our staff was so limited that sometimes the only people who had knowledge on the specific equipment that we were using was, you know, Jackass McGee. And it sucked, but sometimes I had to call him and be like, hey, can you tell me the part number of this? Or, hey, what vendor do you go to for this? Or, hey, do you know offhand where this is? And it was always frustrating because sometimes he would show up at people's apartments and I knew that people did not want him there. There was one time we were loading in a fridge and this family had so many problems with him. They hated him. They literally knew his name and knew his car and everything. So when he rolled up, they were like, oh, no. And I tried my best to make sure that I limited exposure to them, to him, as much as I could. But the reality is that we just didn't have the support that we needed to do a lot of those jobs. And I needed to, if I didn't have anyone else on site, I needed sometimes to have a second person to move a fridge. I can't move a fridge myself. Very few people can. They're fucking heavy. So sometimes you're in those positions where you had to just do things like that. All that being said, what do you do, right? How do you fix this problem? Well, this is a common problem with a towel rack. Now, towel racks, especially in property management companies, are cheap and are made very thin material, right? Now, the reason why property management companies go with literally the cheapest stuff is because it is easily breakable. And the logic behind it is that I've heard people who are in the industry say things like, well, if you spend a lot of money on a nice towel rack or a nice mirror or nice doorknobs, all the tenants are going to do is that they're going to break it anyways. So what's the point? That is the stupidest mentality that I've ever heard. I think it's just one of those things too where you're kind of like trying to fulfill a notion in your head. And you're doing it in a way that actually just reinforces that notion. So, like, if you give them cheap stuff and they break it, then you're going to keep on thinking they're going to keep breaking stuff. Because you're giving them cheap shit to break. For an example, the towel racks breaking was, I remember one of my bosses told me, the reason why we don't use stuff that's really nice is because if it's so firm and it's so strong, and you pull it off the wall, you're going to take the drywall with it. You're going to make a huge hole. And that's harder to fix than, say, two holes, you know? And I get the logic behind it. It's so flawed to me. And I also don't know why, if you're in a property company, why you just don't put everything on a stud. Like, for this instance, what we're looking at here, if the towel rack was originally put on a stud, you probably would have less problems. At least one side of it being on a stud. Now, in this case, what do you do, though, when you see this problem yourself as a tenant? What, you know, do you fill the holes and then do you try to patch it up and, you know, try to fix it and then put it somewhere else? Maybe you put it on a stud, you know? You could do that. You could patch it up. You could do the job. Then you could attach it somewhere else. I'm not going to recommend that in this instance. I'm going to recommend getting something called a toggle bolt wall anchor. And toggle bolt wall anchors are the strongest angers out there, usually, by far, they're the ones that get the job done the most. They work in this way where they have one long bolt, and on that long bolt, they have an alligator mouth that is facing towards, like facing towards you when you're screwing it in. And you hold the mouth shut on that alligator and you put it into the wall, and then it springs open, and that alligator is now going to bite into the wall, and that's going to hold a lot of surface area. Again, remember, drywall is cardboard with plaster in it and then more cardboard. So it's sandwiched in between cardboard. It's very thin. When you see stuff like, oh, this is rated for 20 pounds on drywall. Yeah, in ideal conditions. I mean, when they say, oh, yeah, no, we tested this and it's going to hold 50 pounds. We tested it on 100 sheets of drywall. Yeah, that were brand new. But sometimes you are dealing with walls that are very old, that have had water damage, that have had multiple patches on them, especially in a property, especially in an apartment. If you could look behind a wall in an apartment building, especially like the main wall that's like the biggest wall where you put your TVs and stuff, I cannot tell you how many holes on that wall you would actually see from the backside. It would be so many. And the bigger they are, the more chances that it kind of like hurts the structural integrity, right? It would take a lot to do it. If you're using joint compound when you're filling the holes, it should be okay. But a lot of times people don't use joint compound. They use other materials that aren't nearly as strong. But all that is beside the point. To this question itself, I would use the Talk About Wall Anchor. And only thing you would have to do, though, is do something that's going to feel counterintuitive. And that is to make the hole bigger. So in order to get the Talk About Wall Anchor in, you're going to probably have to drill a larger hole or even just cut open the hole a little bit. Sometimes I would take my utility knife and I would go in there and just cut a wall anchor sized hole just to get it through. And once it's through, it'll do its job. But if you want to go fancy, you can get yourself a hole saw or get some paddle bits. And both of those things can just cut the hole nice and, you know, clean for you. And you can just throw it through there and you should be good to go. But basically, that's how a toggle bolt wall anchor works. Well, I'll try to say that five times fast. But basically, that's how it works. And if you do that on all of your towel rack, like on both sides and all the holes, that should be more than enough to hold, let's say, towels, you know, wet clothes or anything like that. This is what I would avoid, though. Going forward, I would avoid putting any pressure on the sides on your towel rack or pulling your towel rack. And the reason why is because it's not designed for that. It's designed for gravity. The way that those towel racks are designed is downward force, like having towels and stuff on there can usually be okay. But if you're going sideways with it, you're weakening the anchor behind there. And if you're pulling it at all, you're kind of putting tension on it and you're slightly weakening it every single time you do that. And eventually you're going to have a loose towel rack. Now, towel racks, usually, especially the one that you're showing here, is a bracket on the wall, like having a bracket plate on the wall, and then a bracket goes on top of that. And then your rod goes into your bracket. So it's three separate parts. But that plate, sometimes the ones that they use in property management companies don't have much, enough of a bend. And sometimes there's like, when you screw in your bracket into it, there isn't much it's catching on. So sometimes you can look in there, like look at the bracket plate and look at the bracket and see how much is actually holding onto it when it's all the way set in there. And if it's not holding on to much, I would try to either get a longer set screw, which won't cost you much at all, or I would try to get something that's going to help reinforce that when you put it into the wall. So, and that could be something that, like, you know, maybe you're putting something in there when you're taking like a paper clip and you're taking a piece of it and you're throwing it down in there, and then you're screwing the set screw into that. That's going to like work together to kind of give it more strength. But again, you're working with material that's not great. You could always upgrade, but then you're spending money for a space that you don't actually own, and that can be frustrating too. But if you want something that's going to work better, that's not going to be a pain in the ass to keep putting up over and over again, you could always go to Walmart and spend $15 and be fine. There's better materials at Walmart than there are at Maintenance Warehouse. A lot of times for property management companies, you are working with a major retailer where you get a huge discount when you buy in bulk because you have so many units, right? We worked with Maintenance Warehouse. I don't know if that's the name of it anymore. I think it might be Home Depot now that actually owns that company. But Maintenance Warehouse, I mean, you would buy all the tower racks. You would buy like fucking 100 of them for like $20, you know? Not quite like that, but you would buy the most basic stuff, and you could get it shipped, and you would have tons of it in your storage area. And that was kind of how you kept everything, was through that system. So you might be better off to go to Target, Walmart, anywhere you can get a taller rack that might be more durable, and throw it up there. It might be a lot stronger for you. I hope that helps you. Very frustrating. But again, I hope that you don't have any further problems with your technician. And at the very least, when you are moving out, if that's something you do, I will report him after you move out. I'm always worried about retaliation, and I know people are going to have different vibes about that and what they want to do, but when people have keys to my apartment, I'm going to feel a certain way about it. You know, I want to protect myself and my family, and I don't want to get into a jerk-off contest with a guy who's just a jerk and a creep. So I hope that that does not further get worse for you. I hope that it gets better, and I send you all my love. And to the technicians who are out there listening to this, when I do episodes like this, you have to relate to me, techs. If you're a contractor or a tech, how frustrating is this? This is why our industry is just littered with people who think the worst of us. When I show up to an apartment and someone automatically thinks that I'm a douchebag, that's because they've had three other douchebags before me treating them like crap. We've come to teach them to expect the bare minimum. So what do we do? What do we do? You know, here's my advice to technicians who want to make a difference. And if you're a property manager, listen to me when I say this. There are several things that I would do instantly. Number one, every time that someone moves in, you have a technician there with you when they are moving in, when you're doing the check-in. The reason why the technician should be there when they move in is because the technician should use this as a time to explain to them the things that may break, like the blinds. Blinds always go bad in an apartment. Garbage disposal, if you got one. You know, the kind of locks you got, any questions about things you may have, you know, let them know if they need to know anything specific about that unit that they're in. But also, you're building a relationship with them outside of the context of a problem. You should be building a relationship with people, not only when they call you when they're desperate, but before so, for two reasons, right? And both of them kind of benefit the property management company. Number one is you want your tenants to call when there's a problem. You don't want your tenants to wait until the last minute. Because if they wait for the last minute, that $40 fix is going to be a $10,000 fix. All because they were so darn afraid to call you that it causes the company more problems. So I hate to be a capitalist and try to appeal to your wallet, but I know that can work. And if that is what it takes to be a kind human, then I'm so flippin' be it. Another aspect of this is then you are having tenants that are then working with you to solve these problems. They want to help you. They want to learn from you. They like seeing you in the hallway. You know, I always took every opportunity to make sure that I was there on rainy days to walk people to their cars with my umbrella. I was always there to shovel people out when it was snowfall. I was there to let kids in when they locked themselves out. I made sure that I wasn't just a technician, that I was a community member, that I was trying my best to hang out with them and be with them in those moments. I would also talk to the same guy almost every single day. His name is Pops. And Pops has two squirrels that he was obsessed with. And every day he would feed these squirrels, and he named one Blondie. And we would talk about Pudgy and Blondie every day. And building a connection like that was so important. That brings me to the second point. If you want people on your property to be invested, there's a very simple solution. Is your, I know curb appeal is a big thing in our industry. Curb appeal. You hear this from every single Tom, Dick, and Harry in the industry. Curb appeal. Got to make it look nice. God forbid we actually do anything inside the apartment, but we're going to make it look nice on the outside. And that is such a wasted amount of time. If I'm caring more about everything outside, but I'm not actually putting in like 10 hours a week out of my 40-hour work week was on curb appeal. 10 hours a week. They told me 2 hours every single day when I came in. That's how long I had to be working on it. And when I didn't, I got called all on it. Absolutely. It should not. A, that's wild. But B, there's a better solution. There's people on the property who care about curb appeal. And it's the people who fucking live there. Find people who live there, pay them a part-time wage, and or give them a discount on their rental, and have them be involved in the community. And also, a thing you're not going to like, encourage tenant units. I think you want tenants who feel like they're invested in the spaces in which they're in. I think you want tenants that genuinely care about their homes. And a tenant union is a great way to do that. When you are giving people a voice, they're more likely to stick things out. When they feel like they don't have a voice, what's the flipping point? Every property management company looks the same to a tenant who's been mistreated. And they are just going to leave you and go somewhere else. That's what it is. And I know in our industry, we typically don't care about having to do a turnover. But I'll tell you what, I'll do a much better job as a technician if I don't have to have vacants over and over again. The most heartbreaking thing was to do a vacant, to put all my heart and soul into fixing up in an apartment, to see someone move in, be there on the day that they moved in, and then 1 year later, they were gone, and then fix it exactly the same way. The amount of times I did that was so goddamn heartbreaking. You know, people move in and you're like, this is your home and I'm really excited for you. And then they're gone. And it was either people who lived there literally for 20, 30 years or people lived there for 1 year and that's it. And I hope a lot of them went on to have wonderful homes and they were really, maybe they were homeowners after this, you know. But a lot of them probably weren't. And the industry isn't kind to their own tenants. And it's frustrating. So those would be the things that I would do. I would make sure that you are encouraging techs to be there when people move in. I will make sure that you kind of encourage techs to become a community member in some ways and listen to folks. I would definitely make sure that you are building a space that makes it comfortable for them to communicate things to you. And I would encourage a tenant unit. I know no landlord wants to hear that. But the fact that you don't want to hear that makes me want to say it more. I think something needs to drastically change in our country when it comes to how we view unions, how we view cooperation, how we view community. I think we need a wake-up call. We need people to start understanding that we have to work together even if we don't agree. And we need people to start learning that we have to work together in order to get people in positions of power to care. And I think tenant unions are a great place to start. And I encourage you, if you're a tenant and you're listening to this and you're friends with your neighbors, I would think about it. Even if you feel like, you know what, right now we're fine, we're okay, I would do it anyways. Do it before things get bad. So And one last thing I would recommend that I forgot about is that I would also give monthly classes to my tenants. So we would offer up like 1 hour or 2 hours a month, I think, where they could come and I could teach them how to fix a garbage disposal, fix a patch in a wall, you know, how to fix up their appliance or stuff like that, just because it makes people feel like they have agency. You know, I would always start the classes and be like, hey, you know, I don't expect you to fix this at all. But if you ever get to the point where you're like, hey, I just want to do this, I want to save you a phone call, I don't need you to come. And, you know, here you go. This is a really quick fix for a garbage disposal. And here's a really quick fix for a clog, you know. I think that's good. And also, I think when you demonstrate to them that you care about them more than the property, I think people are more likely to also care about you and the property. So I hope that this rant was good. And this was brought to you by the election we just had. All that being said, this was a wonderful episode of the Handyman Hotline. I want to say thank you all so much for tuning in. And I want to remind you all that community starts somewhere. And if we want to have a more connected world, we have to start by being connected to one person at a time. And that's how we work on this. And that's how we make the world a better place. And I know sometimes it feels really dark. I know sometimes it's really frustrating. And I'm right there with you. But we have more things in common than we don't have in common. So hang in there. I send you all my love. And until next time, remember, you're worth the time it takes to learn a new skill. Bye-bye!
Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Handy Mam Hotline. Mercury Stardust is the Handy Mam. And this episode was produced by me, Basil. Our theme song is written and performed by Rhody Walker. You can find all of our back catalog of the Handy Mam Hotline on our Substack, where I'm also writing weekly update posts. So come check it out. We'll see you next time.
That was great!